This morning, you can go with us. We're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3 today. Probably going to read that whole chapter. It's about 17 verses. Do want to say again, appreciate everyone being here this morning. Appreciate the pastor giving us the time to be with y'all this weekend, giving us a share of the platform here. But how many knows, and I'll say it again, if you're dependent on me to give you revival, you're going to leave disappointed.
Yeah.
But if you've come with your mind made up that I'm going to hear from the heaven, I'm going to hear the word of the Lord, you'll not leave disappointed.
Yeah.
Because Jesus makes the difference.
Yeah, he does.
Amen. But if you'll allow us this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of the sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine in the manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me.
Amen.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." There was a lot unloaded there, wasn't there?
Yeah.
In this chapter, a lot of things that Paul began to talk to us about. You know, one thing I'll say, when Paul was giving out this work, and I just want to take my time here a little bit this morning and talk to us a little bit, if that's all right. Paul told us perilous times are going to come.
Yeah.
When we read this, it wasn't, you know, how many's ever told your children, we might do something, or we might, you got to be specific with kids. My youngest especially, I'll use him. Don't tell him something, because he will not forget. That's just the type of boy he is. And I said, if he ever gets that way in his prayer life, my would God can do. My would. You know what? If the church would get that way about the promises of God, that God, if you said it, I'm going to hold you to it, God. You know, there's nothing wrong with holding God to his word.
Right.
Nothing wrong. God expects us to believe him.
Wants us to, yeah.
Paul, it was no different here. Paul was letting the church know, perilous times are going to come. I want to assure you, we're going to face some things. I want to assure you, there's some times that we're going to face, and that word perilous, if you'll allow me to use that word, I like to, if I read something that leaps out at me, I think there's a good reason God put it there. How many has ever come across words that just jumped out at you? It's worth taking time to go research it.
Yeah.
I looked up that word perilous, and there's a lot in that. It's amazing how one word can define so many different things.
Yeah.
It said perilous could mean troublesome, dangerous, harsh, fierce, full of risk, hazardous, harmful, dreadful, and threatening. You know what? I'm glad Paul didn't leave us right there. If that's all we had to hold on to was perilous, we'd be in trouble. But yeah, we go on a little further in these scriptures, and Paul begins to tell us it's coming. It's not a maybe. It's not a suggestion. There is an assurance that it is coming. But what I love is when we get a little bit further in this book. What I love is when we get a little bit further in this chapter. We find in that same chapter, he said, persecutions and afflictions which came unto me. Paul starts to talk to us and let us know, I told you perilous things are coming, but let me tell you what's happened to me personally.
Yeah.
Paul begins to get personal with the church. He said, I've had persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord has delivered me.
Yes.
Can I tell somebody today, we've got a God that's able to deliver us out of whatsoever comes our way. We are not a church without hope. We are not a church that's been forsaken, but we are a church that we've got a heavenly promise that God will not leave us.
That's right.
I'm thankful for that hope.
Amen.
I'm thankful God put some men that went through the fire before we had to go through the fire.
Yeah.
You know what? It wouldn't have done us much good if Paul would have said, perilous times are coming. Hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have been able to draw much comfort from that, would we?
No.
We wouldn't have been able to draw much comfort if we read that and Paul said, perilous times are coming and I hope you make it. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, those things are coming, but let me give you some hope. The Lord delivered me out of them all.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, I'm glad we, you know, sometimes we look at the New Testament and we think, was he just God for them? But you can go all the way back to the Old Testament.
He's God.
And he was God there.
Yeah.
That scripture we read many times, that he's the same yesterday, today, but I'm thankful he's God of forever.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk, you know, sometimes, if I could just for a little while, what I want to just talk to us or minister, I don't know how you'll take this morning, but I just felt like the Lord told me to tell us we are not alone.
Amen.
We're not. Amen. I want to talk to these babies here today, these children that God's invested. I don't know, maybe it was just me as a kid, but the end times used to scare me half to death when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It did. I didn't like to talk about it. I didn't like to really listen to it because I was a child. And when I heard about darkness coming, I was already scared of the dark as it was. And now you're telling me dark days are coming. Mm. And then I got, how many wants to die? Nobody wants to die. Why do we fight sickness? Because we want to live. Why do we try to prolong our days? Because we want to live. I'm telling you that God put life in us, so naturally there's that desire that says, I want to live.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I want to tell these children, you don't have to be afraid of what's coming.
That's right.
I sat where you sat. I sat where some of you children are sitting today. I've overcome my fear.
Yeah.
My children ask me, they say, Daddy, I'm afraid. And I tell them, you know what darkness is? I said, all darkness is, it's just the absence of light. But you know what? When you get in Christ, there's never a dark moment. We've got a light that shines bright even when the night's dark. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. I want to tell these babies, our God will sustain us.
Yeah.
Don't have to be scared.
Right.
We as believers today, Paul not only talked about the persecution, Paul not only talked about afflictions, but sometimes we don't like to talk about this, but is there anybody in here that by acknowledgement, has he ever felt alone? I have. You know, even in a room, it's so weird. I could be surrounded by people, and yet there's times I feel alone.
Yeah.
And I feel the Lord. You say, well, you're not preaching like you did last night. You know what? If you whisper the word of the Lord, it's just as anointed.
Yeah.
Just as anointed.
Yeah.
If you holler, it's just as anointed. It don't matter how it gets out, the word of God is alive. Paul was walking in a place where he said, I have felt loneliness.
Yeah.
He said, where do you find that? Look at chapter 4, the very next chapter. That very next chapter, Paul begins to talk in verse 17. And it says, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by my preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He said, well, that's encouraging. That's encouraging. But you know what? Just a few verses before that, Paul was talking about how he felt like he was forsaken. Isn't it amazing? We can read things sometimes, and then also we look and we say, wait a minute. How does someone get to that place? You know what? Just because we're serving the Lord don't mean there ain't going to be days that we feel forsaken.
Yeah.
Just because you're serving the Lord don't mean there's not going to come times where the weight of this world don't get heavy.
Yeah.
Just because you're serving the Lord, I can remember a time in a personal testimony, and I'm getting somewhere here today. I want to be a help to somebody, but I can remember a time when my first child was on the way. I had my first baby. We were expecting. Actually, I always get that wrong. She was born. I think she had just been born. Working at Transparent USA. Just got started there for a few months working. I was so excited. Had my baby girl. We were excited. Went into work one day. Thinking everything was going to be fine. Thinking, hey, I've got a job that I can go work and provide. And all of a sudden, they called about 16 or 17 of us in a big room. You know what's coming when that happens. I got in that room. My stomach was upside down. I said, oh, please don't be what I think this is. And they said, we want to tell everybody here, you're not being singled out because of your performance. But we are struggling to keep the doors open as it is. And unfortunately, seniority puts you at the bottom. We've got to let you go starting today. I walked out of that place. I wept all the way home.
Yeah.
I said, how am I going to tell my wife that I don't even have a job? Diapers weren't cheap. And they really ain't cheap now.
Yeah.
Things were a lot different. I said, how am I going to tell my wife? I don't know why I'm going the way I'm going, but God does.
Come on. Yeah.
You can read my notes if you want. This story wasn't in my notes. Oh, God checked me to tell this for somebody. I was on my way. There was uncertainty all in my heart. Mm-hmm. But somewhere I got to remember the Lord is with me. Yeah. He is my shelter. He is my defense. He is my provider. I got home.
Yeah, come on.
I told my wife what had happened. Obviously, she was about as emotional as I was. And she said, what are you going to do? I said, well, one good thing is camp meeting's going on. I'm going to go to camp meeting. He said, well, that don't make sense. Why didn't you go look for a job? Because I knew my God knew better than me. I knew my God knew better than me. I got to camp meeting, and I got there. And the pastor comes up with a songbook, and he said, I got good news. And I said, oh, no, don't ask me to sing. He said, why not? I said, brother, I just lost my job. He said, good. I said, good. He said, now we'll find out what song you really have. He said, this is where you really find out the God that you talk about. This is where it's going to shine the brightest. Can I tell somebody today, don't get upset in the midst of your storm. This is where the God you've talked about is going to shine the brightest. This is where God's going to get the greatest glory. This is where God's going to get the greatest worship. It's when in the midst of the storm, he moves. I got there. I said, well, good seeing there's power in the blood right now. I could sing this, and all of a sudden the Lord quickened me. He said, son, I'll tell you what you need to sing is where could I go but to the Lord? And I got up and I started singing that. Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord?
Jesus.
I'm going to tell you what. It did something for me. But you know what? I don't have a job. I don't seem like I got anywhere I can turn. But I can look up and I can know that Jesus is with me.
Yeah.
I want to tell somebody, we are not alone today.
Come on.
I said persecution's going to come. Things are going to come. I can't tell you the economy's going to get better today. There's preachers. You better be careful. There's preachers that'll say, oh, just give. It's going to get better. It might get worse.
Yeah.
It might. You know what? Sometimes God still said, give, son. Give, son. I remember one time, I'm going somewhere here. I don't know why this is the topic. I'm not doing this. Brother Eastman didn't talk to me. He didn't coax me. He didn't say, get on the finances so people will get. He didn't do any of that. So don't think that pastor had any influence on what I'm talking about. This is God. I had none of this plan. I had a whole different direction for what I thought I would talk about. But this is where God's got me. So I'm just following after the Lord. There was another time when I was we were fresh married. Just young pups trying to figure out life, trying to figure out things. You know, one thing I'll tell you, if you're planning on trying to be well off financially and waiting to get married before you got, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what kind of blueprints you think you've got. I don't care how prepared you think you are for life.
Yeah,
you ain't never prepared enough.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what happened in our time. Things got slow. Well, that seemed like it happened a lot to us. Things got slow. I was working a job. Boss called me. He said, don't worry about coming in. I said, what? He said, I just don't have enough work to keep the whole company going. I'll call you when I'm ready for you. Well, we thought at the time, well, it'd just be a couple weeks. You know, a couple weeks. He'll call me back. Thought it was going to be one of them deals. Oh, no. Couple months. He said, well, why did you wait? Well, he told me just keep filing unemployment. He said, I'm not letting you go. I'm going to call you back. I'm going to bring you back. You know what? You go a couple months and New York State unemployment, it was not much. It was not much.
Yeah.
Bills were still, you know, wouldn't it be nice if Uncle Sam took the same consideration sometimes, said, hey, work slow, I'll be slow. Oh, no, no, no. Uncle Sam's still going to knock on that door and say, hey, buddy, check, you owe me. Bills don't stop. Paycheck might stop. Bills don't.
Yeah.
I don't know who this is for today, but God's trying to encourage somebody. Well, in that process, I was filing my claims. I was trying to get my unemployment going. But the problem was, my checks weren't coming. And I was like, this ain't making sense. I'm filing my claims. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. But where's the money? This pastor called me from a Baptist church. You know, it was they didn't believe like we did. They had a total difference. And my aunt said, he's really nervous about having you come and preach because you're Pentecostal and they're Baptist. And I said, well, I'm kind of nervous. I don't know how this is going to go. I said, I'm just going to go preach the word. You know what? Just preach the word. God can move. We don't have to try to convert Baptists. We don't have to try to conform them to us. Just preach the Bible. God knows what he's doing. So that's the mindset I went with. God, I'm not going to try to challenge you. I'm just going to preach what you give. Mm-hmm. Well, he came defensive. He come up to me later apologizing. He didn't know what God dealt with me. But the only thing I went to preach is when my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. How many, is there anybody here? You might feel overwhelmed today. But I want to tell you, there is a rock that you can stand upon and it will not sink. I said it will not sink. You can stand on the rock that it will hold you up. I'm telling you, I've never had the rock sink.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty heavy. As you can tell. I said I hadn't been to Cracker Barrel in a while. And some of you probably thought, can't tell it. Thank God you didn't say it out loud. But you know what? I went and I obeyed. But prior to that, this little boy at school, I could see him digging in his pockets. I knew I didn't have much. I had about $2-3. My wife hates every time I tell this story. You just have to forgive her. We were in tough times. We were in tough times. I can understand it looking back how it must have felt to her. And she knew what I had. And she knew what wasn't coming in. And that little boy, the kids just got away. He looked at me, oh man, I forgot my offering. And God smote me on the heart and said, you got $3. I mean, named the very amount. God knows. God knows what we have. I said, Lord, that's all I've got. He said, give it. My wife didn't know God was speaking to me. I threw that $3 in, and buddy, I felt that quick elbow. Bam! We only got $3. I said, what are we going to do with it? Buy a cheeseburger? I said, it'd be gone in no time. But you know what? I'm glad I heard God. Because afterwards, that pastor come up with an envelope. He said, I don't normally give offerings. I never give offerings to the preachers. He said, part of me was, I didn't even want to have you come because you're Pentecostal and we're Baptist. And I really thought you'd get up here and try to convert us. He said, but God smote my heart and said he had more integrity than you did. Mm-hmm. He said, take this. I said, brother, I can't take that. He says, you better take it because God said take it. I ain't going to lie. I was ready to get in that car and open that envelope, but at least I couldn't wait to open that envelope. I didn't care what it was. I only had three. But I'll tell you what, it was $50. You say, well, big deal. That was just, I'm going to tell you, 50 is a lot better than three.
Yeah.
50 is a lot better than three. So what are you trying to say to me, brother? I'm trying to say give even when it hurts. Because the God we serve knows how to give back. He said what we give, he never loses sight what you give. He knows how to bless.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
I know people, and I'm trying to be careful. I'm not trying to hurt feelings. Please understand, I'm saying this in love. I know people that when God said give, they held back and they wonder why they struggle in their finances. But what I've learned is give even when it hurts. God will not fail you. He won't. He won't. I cannot tell you how many times in our marriage that I feel like that's been a blessing in our lives that I cannot explain to people. People that randomly, I would shake their hands. I wasn't asking for a money. I wasn't asking for a check. I'm not asking for money today. Please understand me. I'm just trying to encourage somebody that God knows your needs. And I had one man chase me down the parking lot. I was on my way to my car. He come running to the parking lot. I said, brother, is everything okay? He said, I almost missed you. He said, here. It was wads of cash. I said, brother, you don't have to do that. He said, oh, yes, I do. God said, you have a need, and I'm to give it. God knows your needs.
Yes.
You are not alone. You know what? Paul talked about that. Paul said, you know what? I didn't ask for handouts. I ministered, and I worked. Paul was a worker. Paul was a laborer. Paul taught people to labor. But Paul said, he has met my needs.
Amen.
How many sounding faithful?
Amen. Amen.
I know this is different this morning from the directions I've been going, but this is what God said to tell somebody. You are not alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Financially, I know the hour we're in. I know the sacrifice that people make. I've seen people give. My dad, one time, we had no groceries. Man, Lord, you're good. He's talking to somebody. Because I'm telling you, this is so far from where I thought I'd be. Isn't it funny how sometimes we make plans to talk about something and God just totally detours it?
Yeah.
I prove it. You come and read this afterwards if you don't believe me. You won't find this anywhere. This is God leading me. My dad, you know, I think it's a man thing. Sometimes we get prideful. We don't want to let people know when we need help. We want to provide. We want to be providers. It's that pride thing. I want to be the man of my home. And there's nothing wrong with that. I believe it's good characters for a man to take care of his family. But I'm going to tell you, we're living in an hour where it's gotten to where even my wife's had to start working some. I hated it. For almost our whole marriage, I kept her from working. I tried my best. And it finally got to a point where it took both of us just to make it. So I'm not ignorant to the fact money don't grow on trees. You got to do what you got to do. But what I'm trying to teach us is God knows how to make the difference. He knows where the shortcomings are. But you don't have to feel like a failure today.
Yes.
My dad was working. He said I was doing all I could to provide. But by the time I paid bills, there was no money for groceries. He said, one day I come out of the church. He said, it looked like somebody had went to Super Walmart or something. He said, I was rejoicing, but I was embarrassed because it was in front of the whole church. He said, my car was the only car that had grocery bags filled to the top, all over the car. And he said, I thought, who did this? And somebody had seen who did it and went to my father. And I said, you ain't going to believe who did this when I tell you. Because they're just as in need as you are. And Dad said, tell me who did it. And when Dad found out, he went to that person. He said, man, he said, you need this more than we do. And she said, brother, don't rob my blessing. She said, my God will supply my needs. I'm telling you what, God knows our needs.
That's right. Yes.
I've come to tell a family here, you're not alone.
Yes.
You're not alone. Don't leave here feeling like, I just feel like I've not been so good. I feel like I'm misfit. I'll tell you what, do what you can.
Yeah.
Do what you, well, all it is a dollar, give the dollar. All it is a quarter, give the quarter. I tell you, God can multiply quarters. One man said it like this, God, if you love me, let me see a dime. That's how he actually went on in Virginia. I don't know if you've ever heard this sermon, brother. It's so neat. He's actually known for this title, the Dime Man. And I was like, the Dime Man? Where did that come from? And they said he was having a bad day. He was struggling. He was discouraged. And he said, God, if you love me, just let me find a dime. And when he opened the car of his door, there was a dime on the ground. He said, I picked that dime up and said, Lord, you love me. He said, I got going to the diner, and I went to go finish up my meal, and I looked on the table, and there was a dime. He said, that whole day, he said, everywhere I went, I was finding dimes all over the place. He said, it was like God was saying, son, I love you. Son, I love you. Can I tell somebody today, the Lord loves you.
Yes.
He loves you more than you'll ever know.
Yeah.
He loves you. My dad, he's famous for this story. He loves coconut cream pies. You know what? You say, how do you know God knows our needs? I think, Sister Bonnie, you kind of started this off this weekend about the boots. The dog ate the boots, and she hadn't even got her snow boots yet. And all of a sudden, God had boots prepared. You know what? God knows to the smallest detail. Sometimes there's prayer requests we won't even put in because we think this is silly.
Yeah.
And we don't even give them. And yet we get home and there's the need. And it's like God says, I told you, there's nothing goofy in my eyes.
Yeah.
That's right.
I have seen God move in things that people say, I don't even count that spirit. You know what? God counted it because he moved. My dad said, people can call me crazy if they want. He said, I was in my house. He said, so I know how could the neighbors, eight houses, I'm talking 8 to 9 houses down across the street. We lived in a busy neighborhood. And my dad said, I walked through the hall and I looked at my wife and said, you know what sounds so good right now? I wish I had a coconut cream pie right now. No, I'm not a coconut person. I don't know if anybody in here is big coke. My wife loves it. I hate it. My wife loves it. My dad said, all of a sudden I heard a knock on the door. He said, I go to the door and it's the neighbor from 8 houses down, one of her relatives, and he's got something in his hand. And dad said, is everything all right? He said, yeah, my aunt said she thought you could use a coconut cream pie today, so she made you one. Here it is. My dad said, I was like, he looked at my mom. He said, God's good. God's good. He said, what can I order next? You know what? That's the God we serve.
Amen.
That is the God we serve. That the smallest thing, the thing that you think or even ask for, the things that you don't even think about. Mm-hmm. How many times has he moved on things you did not even think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But because we are not alone, he knows our needs before we think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
He knows our needs before we think. That same story I told you about that pastor giving me that envelope. When we got home, my wife's aunt, have we ever gotten a letter from them again? We've been married now. Oh, this is dangerous. Why do I do this to myself? 15? All right, she was mouthing it, but I said it before she mouthed it. 15 years. We've only gotten one letter from her aunt ever. We went to the mailbox. There was that letter. We opened that letter. There was $200 in that letter. That's the same day that I gave all that I had. So you might have been saying, well, 50 ain't much. Well, later God gave us 200. But then, for some reason, all of my unemployment checks that had been on hold, that had not come through on that same day, had gotten released. And all I can tell you is I thought to myself, what if I would have said no to what God told me to do? I'm telling you, you are not alone today. Just trust the Lord. Yeah. Did not the Lord say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart? Lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm telling you, we serve a God that will walk with us if we'll let him.
That's right.
Yeah.
My dad, I'm going to share one more story. One more story. I, you know, you say, why don't you share? Does not the word of God say that our testimonies encourage not only us, but it encourages you?
That's right.
My dad said we were on the way to a place with my sister. I gotta be careful. My dad and me, when it comes to mechanically inclined working on cars, is a disaster. We try to save money, and by the time it's over, we would be better off to just go get it done. That's just most of the time the way our projects end up. Well, my dad broke down, and my dad said, I was like, oh man, how am I going to fix this? He said, and all of a sudden, the biggest rig you ever saw, biggest fancy tow truck, pulls up right behind my dad. And he said, something told me to come by this way. Somebody was in need. So here I am. He says, you're in your church clothes. Just sit back and relax. I got it, buddy. Dad's like, yes, sir. Dad said that car, he got that car up and running. He said, we got on our way. And he said, God spoke to me. And he said, son, I know right where you're at all times. How many times has God answered things and we didn't even take time to acknowledge what had just happened? I remember so many times throughout the Word of God, we can testify to the fact that people were not alone. How many remembers David? David realized, I'm not just a boy out shepherding sheep on my own. But David learned the value that I am not alone. How many remembers the sheep? We find, you know what? David could have just simply said, nobody's around. Nobody will know. I'm not going to say anything. Nobody will know if I just let one sheep go. Nobody's going to know. No. David trusted God, and he said, I'm not leaving one sheep behind. And he fought that lion and bear, and how many knows he won? Honey, if you could somehow get rid of him, I want to give us some time to pray today. I know this has been a little different direction than what I've been going for this revival, but I felt such a strong feeling in my spirit this morning that somebody just needed to know you are not alone. We serve a God that has more than enough. Yeah. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you're facing today. I don't care the hardships that you've been through. I can testify he has been God through it all. Yes. I can tell you, Daniel in the lion's den, we find Daniel found, you know what? He was faithful to God. He was faithful to God. There's something that goes hand in hand with God. He watches out for those that remain true to his word. Don't ever look at your situation and think, well, I don't think God cares about my needs. He cares. He cares. Daniel praying three times a day on his knees. There came a day, though, he found himself in the lion's den. But you know what? God, just as he did, what did Paul testify? I felt that ironic, Brother Kyle. I've read this verse before. I've read this many times. But he said, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul said that. But you know what? Doesn't the Bible say, I'll confirm everything I do out of the mouth of two or three? You know what? He didn't just do it for Paul. He did it for Daniel, too. Daniel could come to agreement with Paul and say, you know what? I found myself surrounded by lions too, but I found out I wasn't alone. God got in the den with me.
Yeah.
I want to tell somebody, God gets in the mess with you. God comes down to where you're at. So this morning, if we could this morning, I know this was different, but I want everybody that can, if you can, just to find you a place to seek after God. You never know. You know what? There's been times somebody preached something like this to me, and everything was fine, hunky-dory, and I thought, whew, glad I'm in the clear. And little did I know, the next day, something was coming. So I want to tell you, right now, everything might be hunky-dory, but God's trying to tell you, you're not alone, so prepare. Let's prepare today. Let's seek the face of God this morning. Let's